constantly dwelling in wandering thoughts, greed, anger, ignorance, arrogance. Any bodhisattva who becomes a Buddha in this world will be named Shakyamuni. This is to teach us the remedy for our problems. Once the representations of Buddha and Bodhisattva images are understood intuitively just by our looking at them, we will perfectly comprehend the goal of the Buddha's teachings. The main principle of our practice is awakening, proper thoughts and viewpoints, and purity. A beginning step in learning Buddhism is to take refuge in the Triple Jewels. After we generate the heart to take refuge in the Triple Jewels by accepting, learning, and practicing Buddhism, we find a Dharma master to pass on the principle, goal, and direction of practicing Buddhism. The Triple Jewels are the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. In appearance, they are images of Buddhas, Buddhist sutras, monks and nuns, respectively. Another way of understanding them is that they are the Triple Jewels of our own self-nature. The Buddha taught us to take refuge in the Triple Jewels, to return and rely upon the Buddha is to rely upon the awakening of our self-nature. Currently, we are deluded, not awakened. If we part from this deluded mind of discriminating thoughts and attachments, can we see objects clearly? We cannot say that we do not see them. But if we see them very clearly, without discriminating thoughts and attachments, then we are awakened. The same applies to our attaching to the form we are looking at. It is delusion. Initially, objects do not have names, but are given them by people. The names, like the objects, are not real. Apart from the names and appearances, what we see is the true form. We are deluded about these forms, their physical features, and their names. Consequently, when we rid ourselves of these delusions, we will no longer be attached. This is how we can train ourselves to return and rely upon the Buddha jewel or enlightenment. If someone points to a table and asks us what it is, we naturally say, it is a table, because that is what everybody calls it. We go along with everybody's attachment, but we are not attached to it ourselves. If we do this, then we will be awakened. Therefore, the minds of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are pure, without the slightest pollution, for they are completely without these attachments. When with others, we can go along with them, but maintain our purity within. In this way, we return and rely upon awakening. After taking refuge, when we apply this concept to our daily living, whether interacting with people, matters, or objects, we will no longer be deluded. Our mind will always be pure, non-discriminating, and able to help sentient beings. This is to return to and rely upon the Buddha jewel. The Dharma that we return to and rely upon refers to proper thoughts and viewpoints, which is difficult to accomplish. Only when we are truly enlightened will our thoughts and viewpoints be correct. Before we reach enlightenment, we can rely upon the proper thoughts and viewpoints of Buddha Shakyamuni as ours, for all the thoughts and viewpoints within the sutras are correct. We can at first rely on Buddha Shakyamuni, but only until we reach enlightenment. Where is the Buddha? We are told by Buddha Shakyamuni in the Infinite Life Sutra and by Buddha Amitabha in the 48 vows that the Buddha is within the sutra. We would do well to practice earnestly what the Buddha has taught, either to do or to refrain from doing, and to apply this concept in our daily living. This is to return to and rely upon proper thoughts and viewpoints, or the Dharma jewel. The Sangha of the Sangha jewel represents purity and harmony, as in the six principles of harmony. Consequently, whenever we see a monk or nun, we do not want to dwell on whether this person is a great cultivator or a violator of precepts. Whether they are or are not is not our concern. Seeing a monk or nun reminds us to see whether we ourselves have lived by the six principles of harmony and cultivated purity of mind. To truly take refuge is to know how to reflect upon ourselves. Since we still have all the same bad habits and are committing the same offenses, having been deluded for infinite eons, this is to return to and rely upon purity, or the Sangha jewel. It would be helpful for Buddhists to set up the triple jewels in their home. When we make offerings to the Buddha image, we will be reminded that we need to be awakened. How? When our six senses encounter the external environment, we would not discriminate or attach or give rise to any thoughts. For example, deep concentration is not giving rise to any discriminating thoughts or attachments. Thus we achieve a high level of wisdom and are able to see all situations clearly. However, ordinary people like us use the false mind and constantly give rise to wandering, discriminating thoughts and attachments. The appearance of everything we see is false, is illusion. Once we understand these principles and have learned not to have wandering thoughts and attachments, we also become a bodhisattva or a Buddha. An important part of Mahayana practice is generating the Bodhi mind, the great, compassionate, sincere mind, with every thought to attain complete realization for self and others. How will we reach realization? When we first understand that this world is full of suffering, for although we feel happy at times, This is not true happiness, for it does not last. Upon careful and rational observation of society, we may find our conclusions frightening. Looking back over the last 30 to 40 years, we see that people used to be kinder, more considerate. People nowadays are selfish and often only think of themselves and benefiting themselves at the expense of others. This selfishness has created a chaotic world, making even our climate abnormal. Therefore, the first thing in generating the Bodhi mind is to realize that this world is full of suffering. However, the Western Pure Land is a land of ultimate bliss. For Pure Land practitioners, true awakening is when we sincerely seek to escape the suffering of this world and attain the true happiness in the Western Pure Land. Second, the aspiration of awakening is to benefit and to help all sentient beings, to think of others, not of ourselves. We enthusiastically impart all of our knowledge to others who are interested in learning. This is the giving of the Dharma. There is nothing more important than the Buddha's teachings. The Buddha told us that of all the kinds of giving, the giving of Dharma is foremost, for it is the only knowledge that can help us to acquire the boundless wisdom, virtue, and skill that will enable us to be free of all worries, to put an end to reincarnation, to leave the three realms, and to ultimately attain Buddhahood. But while we are still in this world, we need to get along harmoniously with others. To do this, the Buddha set six principles for us to follow. Not only are these applicable within a Buddhist community, but also in any organization or group. In our society, the smallest group of people is a family. A larger group is a nation. And the largest group is a group of nations. The first principle of harmony is to share the same goals and viewpoints. In other words, to establish a common consensus. Everyone within this group shares similar thoughts and viewpoints, providing the foundation for living in harmony. If everyone has different viewpoints and ideas, then conflicts would be unavoidable. And if conflicts are unavoidable, this will make the group discordant. Therefore, sharing the same goals and viewpoints is very important, making this the first of the six principles. The second principle is to observe the same precepts and rules. There are both broad and narrow meanings within the word precept. The narrow meaning includes upholding the 5 or 10 layperson precepts, monk or nun precepts, bodhisattva precepts, as well as the Buddha's teachings. In a broader sense, observing precepts includes abiding by etiquette, customs, rules, and laws of wherever we are. Today, through the advancement of technology in both travel and communication, our sphere of activity is not limited to our country, but expands to other countries as well. Whether sightseeing, on business, or visiting others, it is essential to observe the local customs and laws, thus being respected and welcomed wherever we go. This principle is practical and brings joy to others. Therefore, upholding the precepts also includes following the customs and laws of the country that we are in. All governments welcome law-abiding citizens. So to truly promote and be a benefactor of Buddhism is to uphold the precepts. With this as a base, people could then practice the third principle of living and practicing together harmoniously. This naturally leads to the fourth principle of not quarreling. When living together and sharing a common consensus, a group would naturally not have any conflicts. To practice with the same goal and to achieve improvement daily ensures that the community would experience the joy and inner peace that is the fifth principle. The sixth principle is to share benefits equally. Benefits refers to our daily necessities. A sangha does not merely represent a community of monks and nuns. At home, the family can also practice Buddhism and accord with the six principles of harmony. Even within a company, everyone, from the employer to the workers, can practice Buddhism to make up a sangha. Therefore, it has a very broad meaning. Within this sangha, one strives to share benefits. For left-home people, it means having the same manner of living. From the person in charge to the person with no formal responsibilities. Everyone shares the same manner of living with no special treatment. We would do well to live by the six principles of harmony, to learn how to better get along with others. When with other organizations or groups, regardless of whether or not they practice these principles, we ourselves need to accord with the spirit of these principles to truly follow the Buddha's teachings. Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are our best role models, while we are to be good role models for others who are not Buddhists. This is the spirit of Buddhism, using our behavior to influence and to benefit others. We are thus promoting Buddhism. We do not teach others in a formal sense, but rather we simply let them observe us. Thus, our daily practice and conduct can unobtrusively and imperceptibly help to influence and change others, just as Buddhas and Bodhisattvas manifest in this world to help others. Another important guideline for our practice is the three learnings of self-discipline or precepts, deep concentration, and wisdom. The three learnings summarize all the teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni and of all the Buddhas in the past, present, and future. The teachings of precepts place most emphasis on rules, regulations, and laws which we need to follow to successfully interact with people and matters. This will enable the members of society to enjoy a wonderful and fulfilling life. Worlds absent of law and order are worlds of chaos. Although we may possess good fortune and wealth, we may still be unhappy because we live in fear and insecurity. Why? Because we have discarded law and order. The precepts thoroughly explain the principles, methods, and the state of mind we need to bring about law and order. The three learnings clearly explain this concept. We practice these precepts, or self-discipline, to attain deep concentration. We then practice deep concentration to attain wisdom. In other words, we practice the Buddha's teachings in order to attain the ultimate perfect wisdom. Once we uncover this inner wisdom, we will know the true reality of life and the universe, including how to restore our original abilities. Presently, we are in a state of delusion. Delusion occurs when the mind-heart is not still, while an enlightened mind-heart remains unaffected. When our six senses encounter the environment, our mind-heart moves, giving rise to wandering thoughts. The Buddha taught numerous ways of practice so we can remain unaffected in all situations, not giving rise to any wandering or discriminating thoughts or attachments. This state of mind is deep concentration. Cultivating, correcting our erroneous thoughts, speech, and behavior is cultivation. We accomplish these through self-discipline and concentration. For the pure mind, self-discipline is the external standard. Concentration is the internal standard. The external standard is very important, but most important is the internal standard, because it helps us to achieve our goal to attain wisdom. With self-discipline, we attain the constant concentration that gives rise to the ultimate perfect wisdom. How do we first attain proper realization, then equal and proper realization, then the perfect, complete realization? These levels of attainment depend on the strength of concentration, the extent of the purity of mind. As Buddhists, the goal of our practice is this perfect, complete enlightenment. If we depart from rules of order and purity of mind, we are not practicing Buddhism. No matter which method we practice, whether Buddha name chanting, precept observation, mantra recitation, or Zen meditation, if we do not follow the guidelines, we cannot attain the pure mind. All would be just window dressing. With one degree of pure mind, we attain one degree of wisdom. With 2 degrees of pure mind, we attain 2 degrees of wisdom, etc. Therefore, practicing accordingly, while maintaining and protecting the pure mind that gives rise to true wisdom, is crucial. The 6 paramitas are the primary guidelines for bodhisattvas. Each paramita encompasses our whole way of living. For example, the first of the 6 paramitas is giving. Most people think of giving as simply donating money. Actually, this is only one of the infinite kinds of giving. From the appearance, giving is sacrificing oneself to give to others. However, from its intrinsic nature, giving is letting go. When we practice giving or letting go of our wealth or our physical strength, for example, when a homemaker keeps house daily, providing a comfortable environment for the family, without proper understanding, this homemaker may feel these daily chores are boring or repetitive, that washing clothes and cooking meals every day is simply repeating the same thing over and over. If, however, the homemaker clearly understands that he or she is cultivating the bodhisattva way by practicing the 6 paramitas, then he or she will be filled with joy. Changing our perception of doing the same chores with a giving, non-attaching heart is practicing the paramita of giving. Not only do we serve the whole family by keeping the house neat, but we serve as a role model for all relatives and neighbors. In this way, not just one, but all beings benefit. We are thus a role model for all families. Whether managing a store or business, being a role model for others is practicing the bodhisattva way and guiding sentient beings. The paramita of giving can be expanded to include the infinite universe. Giving is comprised of 3 categories, the giving of wealth, the giving of teaching, the giving of fearlessness. The giving of wealth includes internal and external wealth. Internal wealth involves all of our mental and physical labors, which benefit others. External wealth is the giving of all other things, for example, money or food. As a result of the giving of wealth, we in turn gain wealth. The giving of teaching is the willingness to instruct others while not selfishly holding back any knowledge. It is to do our best in educating willing students. As a result, we gain intelligence and wisdom. The giving of fearlessness includes soothing away others' fears and fostering a feeling of security. As a result, we gain health and long life. Most people wish for wealth, intelligence, wisdom, health, and long life. When there is a good cause, a good reward will follow. However, We do not receive the reward without first planting the good fruit. By practicing all these kinds of giving, we perfectly attain all of these rewards. After careful observation, we will see that there are very few who have everything they wish for. Some wealthy employers do not possess great intelligence or wisdom, but have intelligent and wise employees working for them. These intelligent and wise employees have cultivated wisdom in their past lives, but did not cultivate good fortune. On the other hand, these employers cultivated good fortune, but did not cultivate wisdom. Using Buddhist principles to observe society enables us to know how to conduct ourselves in the future. Frankly, true wisdom is more important than good fortune. Wealth is good fortune, but how we use and allocate wealth requires a high level of wisdom. Without wisdom, possessing wealth may lead us to create infinite bad karma from bad deeds while thinking that we are doing good. Without wisdom, we are unable to distinguish true from false, beneficial from harmful. And often we are ignorant of even having conducted ourselves in an erroneous manner. All these principles are explained very clearly in Liao Fan's Four Lessons. Within goodness, there exists true and false, proper and improper, big and small, difficult and easy. From its appearance, what may appear to be a good deed due to changes in its nature sometime later may turn out to have been a bad one. On the other hand, what may initially appear to be a bad deed can turn out to have actually been a good one. Therefore, we need insight to understand the outcome of all good and bad deeds and not to judge them by their initial appearance. And we need a high level of wisdom to deeply understand and to be far-sighted enough to correctly distinguish the truth. The second paramita is precept observation or self-discipline, which also has a broad meaning. We follow the Buddhist teachings, accord with customs, laws, regulations of wherever we are. And both the spirit of the law as well as the letter, all rules and laws are to be followed. The third paramita is patience, whether interacting with people, matters, or objects. As the Buddha explained, all dharma is attained from patience and endurance. To succeed in either worldly or spiritual dharma, we must have patience. Without it, we cannot attain achievement. Having this patience to endure what others cannot, we achieve what others cannot. The fourth paramita is diligence, seen as focused daily improvement, not trying to advance in many different directions. Advancing with diligence to a certain level, we attain concentration. This concentration is not the cultivation of sitting in a lotus position facing a wall. It is to remain unmoved, and to not be influenced by external conditions. we achieve the fifth paramita, concentration, when we are unmoved by all phenomena. It is seeing everything clearly and knowing that all is intuitive wisdom. The prajna wisdom, which is the sixth paramita. In this way, we will live happily. For example, when we buy a refrigerator, use and maintain it nicely, it can last at least 10 years. During these 10 years, there will be improvements and changes in refrigerator manufacturing. Will we want to exchange it for a new one? When there is no need for a new one and we continue to use the old one, we have concentration. When we are moved upon seeing a new model in the store and want to buy it to replace the old one, we have neither concentration nor wisdom. Living in this way, we would not be happy because our income would slip through our fingers just trying to keep up with new products. The order in practicing Buddhism is belief, understanding, practice, and attainment. First, we have unwavering belief, for without it, we will be unable to accept the Buddha's teachings. It is not that easy to give rise to this belief, as it all depends on affinity or condition. Without these, it would be extremely difficult to have this unwavering belief. In believing, we first need to believe that we possess the Buddha nature and that we can definitely become a Buddha. Second, we need to have confidence in our original teacher, Buddha Shakyamuni, knowing he would not lie to us. Equally important is that we seek the correct and perfect understanding. After understanding, we need to accomplish, to practice, to apply Buddhist principles and methods into our daily living. Lastly, we reach attainment, which proves within our daily lives that all the teachings, the belief, the understanding, the practice, and the attainment are correct. Ultimately, we return to the Pure Land Method. To return to the Pure Land Method is what all Buddhas recommend we do. In the Amitabha Sutra, all the Buddhas in the six directions praise the Pure Land. In the Infinite Life Sutra, Buddha Shakyamuni praised Buddha Amitabha, not asking us to rely upon himself, but rather to rely upon Buddha Amitabha. We exist in a state of delusion, not yet having understood that we are not one entity in ourselves. Rather, we are just one very small part of the whole. Not many, but one. Our wandering, discriminating thoughts and attachments and afflictions have hidden the truth from us. Buddha Shakyamuni taught us how to break through these obstacles to uncover our true nature. He taught of enlightenment and purity, of Buddha name chanting and true wisdom, of Buddha Amitabha and the Western Pure Land. It is said that Buddha name chanting method is the easiest to practice and the most difficult to believe. Using other methods, we take a long circuitous route to enlightenment. Seeking birth into the Pure Land is the shortcut that ensures us of breaking free of reincarnation, of attaining enlightenment, of becoming a Buddha in one lifetime. From this, we know both logically and intuitively that this method is outstanding and beyond comparison. It is a rare opportunity for us to encounter it in this lifetime. As the opening verse of the sutra says, it is very difficult to encounter in infinite eons. Having encountered it in this lifetime, it would be unbearably tragic to let this rarest of opportunities slip by us. It occurs so infrequently in limitless eons. We need to hold on tight, to not let go, to practice as earnestly, as sincerely as we can. We do this not for ourselves, but for the sake of all sentient beings. Amitabha, thank you.
No.